series called The Grip of Grace. The Grip of Grace. And in this series, we've been asking ourselves the question, you know, Paul puts it to us in Scripture, that he instructs us that we may accept and receive the amazing grace of Jesus Christ deep, deep within ourselves. This is what Paul tells us in Scripture. And in this series, we've been asking ourselves the question, have we really received the grace that is at the center of our faith? Or are we just playing with it? I hope you have asked yourself that question during this series. And I've suggested to you over these past few weeks that we've shared over this series, this theme that we're working on, some things that we need to change if we really are to let grace in to our spirits. And so the things that we've discussed that we're needing to change, we're changing our grip. Somebody say, changing our grip. We're not squeezing. We're trying to not squeeze life so tight and feel that we have to do everything and that we have to perform and to achieve, but that rather we are gripped by our mighty God and we are instruments in God's hands, that the effort does not have to come for us. We're changing our grip. We're also changing, last week we discussed, we're changing our mirrors. Somebody say, changing my mirror. Changing my mirror. That we all have a mirror with which we look at ourselves in this life. And grace is supposed to change that mirror so that the image that we see of ourselves is the same image that God sees when God looks at us. Often that's not the case. And grace comes in to say, I need to soak your life. I need you to see this thing differently. And so we are changing our mirrors. And then today we're talking about changing our stories. Changing our stories. Because grace should make you tell your story differently. So today we're studying another life that was gripped by grace, that was changed radically in the way that we are to be changed by grace. And that's Paul's life. So this is for those who are still not sure about their stories. If you could turn with me to Galatians. We're going to be reading this passage, which I find very powerful, in two Bibles. I like it so much, we have to read it in two different Bibles. I got a lot going on up here, but I was told you can never have too many Bibles. And so we're going to be reading it in two powerful translations. If you could turn with me to Galatians 1. It'll be on the screens for you as well. Galatians 1, verses 13 through 24. We'll be reading it first in the NRSV. Followed by the Message Bible. So when you got it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Please attend with me to the powerful word of God. Galatians 1, 13 through 24. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human beings. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, that's Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly persecuted us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. Please allow me to read this one more time in your hearing in the Message Bible. Verses, this is for Karen. She likes this translation and it is her birthday. The Message Bible for Karen and for all of us. Verses 13 through 24. I'm sure that you have heard the story of my earlier life. Somebody say earlier life. When I lived in the Jewish way. In those days, I went all out in persecuting God's church. I was systematically destroying it. I was so enthusiastic about the traditions of my ancestors that I advanced head and shoulders above my peers in my career. But even then, God had designs on me. Why, when I was still in my mother's womb, he chose me and he called me out of sheer generosity. Now he has intervened and revealed his son to me so that I might joyfully tell non-Jews about him. Immediately after my calling, without consulting anyone around me, and without going up to Jerusalem to confer with those who were apostles long before I was, I got away to Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus, but it was 3 years before I went up to Jerusalem to compare stories with Peter. I was there only 15 days, but what days they were. Except for our master's brother James, I saw no other apostles. I'm telling you the absolute truth in this. Then I began my ministry in the regions of Syria and Cilicia. After all that time and activity, I was still unknown by face among the Christian churches in Judea. There was only this report: the man who once persecuted us is now preaching the very message he used to try to destroy. Their response was to recognize and worship God because of me. Sisters and brothers, the message that our Lord is giving us today, the task that is ours as we let grace sink in today, is to tell a new story. To tell a new story. Please pray with me. God, we come to you and we lay our entire lives at your altar. We know, God, that we are not asked to come to church just to hear about you, but to talk to you. So now, God, we open ourselves up for a holy conversation with the one who made us and the one who has walked with us and who has talked with us. We trust you, God. We don't always feel that way, but we trust you today when we hear you say that you sent your grace not just for other people, but for us. And God, because it is such an amazing gift, because it is such an incredible gift of a generous God, because it is so life-changing, because it is such a big deal, God, we don't want to leave it sitting there unwrapped. No, but today we want to understand, to let your grace in, to receive it the way we are instructed. We are so grateful that out of your generosity, you have loved and accepted us. God, help us. Just like Paul, let the scales continue to fall from our eyes. Help us to truly see what your grace means, who we are to you, how you want us to walk. Help us to truly see you. Because God, when we keep our eyes on you, God, when we keep our eyes on you, things shift. Chains break. Freedom is ours. We walk in grace. We love you. We need you. We open ourselves up to you and we give this hour to you. And it is in the mighty and the holy name of Jesus that together we say amen.
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 I'm telling a new story. People of God, the stories that we tell ourselves are very powerful. The stories that we tell ourselves are very powerful. We know this intuitively because we see the stories that impact the impact that stories have on our lives. We know this intuitively because of the way that we tell stories to our children. We make sure to tell them stories that will form their lives and help them live into being the best version of themselves. We make sure to tell them stories that will structure their world in such a way that they see the truth and stay far from the lies, that they can live in hope. For example, we let our kids watch The Lion King over and over and over for decades because the story tells us about Simba who spends years running away from a past that caused him pain, but he ultimately comes back and he ultimately does his job and he ultimately steps up to the challenge and he ultimately lives in hope because we want our children to know that they can do what they were called to do and that bad things happen in life, but those bad things do not win. We want them to know something about life. And so we tell them that story. We tell them bedtime stories. We put them to bed with stories in their minds that will remind them of the best parts of life, that will inspire them to be the best version of themselves. We know that stories are powerful. But the stories that we tell ourselves, the stories that we let fill our minds, they are not always so positive. Stories continue to be powerful even after we grow up. We may not read ourselves bedtime stories, but we do tell ourselves stories as we're trying to fall asleep. We tell ourselves stories that might not always be the peaceful and the inspiring stories like the ones that we read to our children as we are sending them off to dream. We tell ourselves stories about about what other people are thinking about us. We tell ourselves stories about what could go wrong. We don't tell ourselves stories that will put us to sleep and give us dreams of the best parts of life. We tell ourselves stories about what happened to so-and-so and what will probably, therefore, happen to me. We tell our children, we know how powerful they are, peaceful stories with happy endings so that they can sleep well. But we often tell ourselves frightening stories, stories with sad endings that end up robbing us of sleep. The stories we tell ourselves are very powerful. Probably the most powerful story that we tell ourselves, the one with the most impact, the one that's having the most impact on you right now, is the story that we tell ourselves of our own life. Each of us has an unwritten autobiography that we carry around with us. It might not be something that we put to paper or something that we ever plan to publish. We might not share it with anybody else, but we are always telling ourselves this story of our own lives. And these unwritten autobiographies, they have an impact on us. They affect us. They decide in many ways how our lives go. Psychologists, they call these stories that we tell ourselves about our own lives, they call them our personal narratives. The story of ourselves that we keep repeating. And psychologists have observed that these personal narratives, that there is a correlation between the way we tell our personal stories and our overall mental health, our life satisfaction. For example, researchers have noticed what they call this correlation between a certain motifs that they see in people's personal narratives. For example, if there's a strong redemption motif in your personal story, If you tell your story as something going wrong, but you being able to overcome it, if there's a strong redemption motif in the story that you tell, then you tend to enjoy greater mental health, greater well-being. Whereas those who tell their story with what they call a contamination motif, these are just examples. A contamination motif, meaning that your story is one where something was pretty good, but somehow it got messed up. Something was all right, but it always seems to go wrong. If those who tell their stories with this contamination motif, they have observed that they tend to struggle a little bit more with distress, and they're less satisfied with their lives, and they are less at peace because of the story that they tell. An entire field has developed. Because these stories are so powerful, it's called narrative psychology. An entire field has developed about the way that we tell our own unwritten autobiographies to ourselves, because these stories that we tell ourselves about our lives, they're very powerful. We have within us, I wonder if you can consider as you tell your own story, we have within us the capacity to write beautiful personal narratives with soaring words about great scenes of triumph. We have the ability to tell our own autobiography with beautiful words and great insight, to make meaning out of them that does not just explain who we are and who we have been, but in some way elaborates on the great truths of our human family. We have within us the capacity to tell powerful stories about the lives that we are living. But we also have the capacity, when we write these unwritten autobiographies, to walk around with stories, telling ourselves stories in tones that are not so soaring and not so favorable. If we're honest, often when we tuck ourselves into bed at night and we repeat back to ourselves the interpretation that we have of this life that we have lived, we often don't tell ourselves stories that make us think about the best parts of life. We often don't tell ourselves stories that inspire us and remind us to be the best version of ourselves. We often repeat back to ourselves the interpretation that we have offered of this life, and it's often not so comforting. It's not always so inspiring. Sometimes when we tell ourselves our stories, maybe you'll relate, sometimes we cast ourselves as the villain in our own story. Can you imagine? As the bad guy, as we are the contaminating factor. When we look at our stories and where we've been, we see us messing up and what we've done being so shameful. Sometimes we cast ourselves as a villain so much we'd rather not even tell anybody our stories because it bothers us and it shames us, and so we just keep telling that story to ourselves. Sometimes in the story of our lives, we cast ourselves as the victim. Things keep happening to us, and this is how our lives always go, and this is how it will always be. Sometimes it's as though our lives are moving, and we cast ourselves just as the extra. Nothing really happening to me or through me. It wouldn't even really matter if I weren't there at all. Sometimes we can cast ourselves and we tell our own unwritten autobiographies as we tell or repeat these stories back to ourselves, cast ourselves as the perpetual mess up, the failure. Say things like, I'm the one in the family who just didn't really go anywhere. Nothing came of my life. This is the story I tell of myself. These unwritten autobiographies that we walk around with, they can get very heavy. These stories that we tell ourselves about our lives, they are powerful. Today in Galatians, Paul is reviewing his own personal story. He's going over what has happened to him. He's telling this church everything in his life. He's going through where he has been and where he's reviewing his story. He's offering us an insight into his own unwritten autobiography. You have heard, no doubt, he says, of my earlier life, how I was persecuting the church, how I was doing what I wasn't supposed to be doing, how I was doing actually the opposite of what God would have had me to. Yeah, I did that, he says. And then I went here, and then I went there. You heard all about it. You knew I was in Arabia. I know about what you heard. But today in Galatians, Paul, who was an expert in grace, Paul, who is a grace specialist. Today in Galatians, he says, I know about what you heard, but let me tell you how I see my story. Paul is a grace guru. He is an expert in this concept of grace. He attaches words to it that still bring meaning to our lives all these millennia later because Paul knows grace. And he knows grace not because he studied the concept, but because his life was soaked in it. He knows grace not because he read about it in a book, but because he turned the pages of his life and on every page he saw grace written in capital letters. He is an expert in grace, and because he knew grace from absolute and personal experience, Paul tells his story differently. You see, Paul didn't always tell his story with the language of grace. I like Paul because he lets us in, you know, these personal autobiographies that we have, that the unwritten stories about our lives that we repeat back to ourselves but don't necessarily tell with anyone else. We don't always share them. Especially when they hurt us, we keep them to ourselves. We don't always let them out. But Paul, I like Paul because he reveals his inner psyche to us. He teaches with such transparency that we can relate to Paul. When you read the pages of Paul, you might see yourself in there. I like Paul because as he's revealing how he tells his story, he doesn't just leave it on the good side. He doesn't just tell us the happy ending. No, Paul tells us what it's really like to be human. And Paul reveals to us as he teaches us through the pages of his letters, he reveals to us that he didn't always tell his story in the language of grace. Paul had had some scenes in his story that were not easy to watch, and he knew what it was to look back over his life and to wince. He wasn't always the hero of the early church that we know him as. No, he had a peculiar past. We read a little bit about it today. He started out as a bully. He persecuted those who followed Jesus just because he didn't like their religion and he thought his was better. Sounds kind of familiar. Like maybe we just read about that in the news, that there are some bullies who think that their religion is better, and so then they want to put bans on people and travel restrictions because they have decided that their religion is better than someone else's. We need to remember what Jesus said to Paul when Jesus knocked him off of his horse and said, I see what you're doing because you think you're better. You better stop that, Jesus said, because I am no respecter of persons. And sometimes in our world, it's like they need to open the Bible and see what this God that they say that they serve says about the behaviors that we have. Paul said, I thought I was better, but God came in and told me that wasn't true. Paul had done some awful things because he had this misunderstanding. He had done some things he truly should not have done. Does anybody know the feeling? Paul had done some things that when he looked back over his story, they made him wince and he thought, I cannot believe that was me and that's what I did. What was I thinking? I've done some things that I should not have done. Maybe it's just Paul. Maybe none of us in this room has ever gone down a road that we shouldn't have gone down, has ever been in a place that we shouldn't have been in, has ever done some things that make us wince when we look back over our stories. But Paul said, I know I shouldn't have done those things. I look back, I don't like what I see, but I met someone on a road that day that said, what you have done is not who you are, and what you have been through does not define you, and there's more in your future than there is in your past, and I value you so much that I'm not going to let you stay where you are. And maybe it's just Paul, but maybe there's some people in the room who know what it is to say, I used to do what I shouldn't have done, and I haven't always been who I want to be, but thanks be to God, he didn't leave me there. He found me on a dusty road. Can anybody say, man, the road where God found me was not a clean one. It was dusty. Sometimes I still think I have the dust, but he says, I'm not done cleaning you up. And he grabs me and he says, I took you from that road. Thanks be to God that those times when we look back and it makes us wince, God did not leave us there. We know, some of us. Some of y'all so good, you've been good the whole time. You came out good. You came out singing, this is the day, this is the day. You knew already. Some of us had to get there. Paul had to get there. Can I just hear some praise for God for those of us who had to get there? Oh, God. Because we serve a God that doesn't give up on us. Paul knew this God. Paul looked back and he saw some things that made him wince, but he didn't stay that way. God changed his life. Thanks be to God. But sometimes, now this is where maybe you can see yourself. Sometimes he would look back, even though God had changed his life. Sometimes, even though he wasn't there on that dusty road anymore, sometimes he would look back. And he would begin to tell himself his own autobiography, and it wasn't the kindest rendition. Paul knows what it is. He tells us in the pages of his scripture as he's teaching us with such transparency. He knows what it is. He tells us he knows what it is to look back over his story and see himself as the worst villain. He says things like, I am the foremost of sinners. Because of my past, he writes, maybe some of us know how this feels. There are times in his story when he's teaching us through his letters, he says, because of my past, I know what it is to look back and say, because of my past, I am unfit to be an apostle. Have you ever told yourself that story? That because of something about your past or something about your story, there is somehow something that makes you unfit to do the things that are before you to do, and you find yourself hesitating in life and not sure. When we talk about assignment and we talk about what God might be calling you to do, you find yourself hesitating at the door of your destiny because you look back over some things and you say, me, God, I don't think it can be me. How could you use me? I know what it feels like to be like Paul and to look back over a story and say, I am unfit. It's a story that we often tell ourselves. Paul knows what it is to tell his own story and for it to hurt as it goes through his ears. He writes in these pages, I know maybe you remember these words, maybe they connected with you when you read them. He writes in these pages as he's teaching with transparency, what I did is not what I wanted to do, and I wish I could just erase that part. Oh, I can't erase it, though. I've done those things, and they are part of my story. Oh, wretched man that I am. These unwritten autobiographies that we carry around, they can be heavy. I want to ask you, what stories are you telling yourself about your life? What language are you using to describe the journey that you have been on? Sometimes what we say to other people is not the same thing that we tell ourselves as we are tucking ourselves into bed at night. What story are you telling yourself? Maybe you know what Paul feels like when he says, because of my past, I'm unfit to do the things that are before me to do. God, could it be me? Maybe you know what it feels like to be Paul when he says, I look at everybody around me and then I look at myself and I just feel like the foremost of sinners. Maybe you know what it feels like when Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. Paul knows what it is to tell his story in tones that hurt and that wound. But here in Galatians, Paul tells his story in a different way. Here in Galatians, he has a different rendition. Here it comes out differently. This is the updated version. This is the copyright 2020. This is a different way to tell his story. Paul wrote Galatians at least 17 years after God had knocked him down on that road to Damascus. Paul had had some time to let his life marinate in grace. It was 17 years later. It was not his first day at the rodeo. It was not his first time knowing this God figure in his life. It was 17 years later, and he had walked with God for a while, and he had talked with God for a while. God had worked on him maybe even every morning, because Paul, of course, taught us to pray without ceasing. So Paul had talked with God and had learned from God, and some things were different about Paul's life. His life was not the same. His mind is no longer the same. And the way he tells his story, this is what I want you to get, is not the same. Today in Galatians, he says to us, I know how others tell my story. I know how sometimes I've told it to myself. But God's been working on me for a while now. And now I tell my story the way God tells it. There is a freedom that comes when we begin to tell our story the way that God tells our story. Paul says, you've heard of my earlier life. Yes, I did those things. No, it was not pretty. But when I look at my story now, I see something different. I don't see myself as the villain. I don't see myself as the wretch. I don't see myself as the foremost of sinners. I see that I made some mistakes, but that I am not that mistake. I don't walk in shame, because I see now that even then, God had designs on me. Even then, in the midst of my dustiest places, God was up to something. I see now that God is telling my story differently. And now when I tell my story, I say, the one who was formerly on the wrong side is working for the Most High. Now when I tell my story, Paul says, now, even though I see the things that I did, now I know you know about my earlier days, but now when I tell my story, I say, God is getting the glory out of me. See, Paul knows something that we all need to learn. Paul knows something that we all need to let sink into our spirits in this season when we are letting grace truly into us. Paul knows something about his story that we all need to learn, that God's glory shows up in your story. I'm going to say that one more time. God's glory, we sang about it today. Show me your glory, God, that we want to see the glory of God's glory shows up in your story. In your story. Not the story that you wish you had, no. If you go back over your life and you think about the places where God really showed off, was it the life that you wish you had? Or was it the story that you actually lived? God's glory shows up in your story. This is how Pastor Mike puts it. He says, your story is your glory. Your story is what God uses to show off. Your story is what God is going to take and show to someone else and say, look what I can do. Look how much I love you. Look how mighty I am because of her, because of him. Like Paul said, they glorified God because of me. Your story. But you know what we do? We wish we had a different story. We tell ourselves a story and we don't use words like glory. We don't use words like God is working through me and I am on assignment from the Most High and God had designs on me when I was in my mother's womb. No, those are Paul's. We don't use words like that. We say, well, I've always been this way. We say, well, I keep messing up. That's just how it always goes for me. Well, that's what I saw grow. These are the ways we tell our story. But Paul is teaching us today that God wants you to tell your story the way God sees it. What if God, when God's, you tell your story and it's the word dysfunction. When God sees it, God says, wounded by pain, but still walking. You tell your story and you say, everything bad keeps happening to me. But God sees your story and God says, that's my daughter and I call her survivor. You tell your story and you say, I gave up on this and I quit. God says, you didn't give up. Your dreams evolved because I lifted you to a higher level and you're not who you were anymore. You tell your story in these ways and God says, that's not the story that I'm telling about you. Paul has learned because he's been soaked in grace. He says, I'm telling my story the way God tells my story. And there is something that shifts in us when we let go of these heavy, unwritten autobiographies. I wish I knew what yours were. I can't tell you the way you're repeating your story back to yourself. What you're telling yourself about why they left you because there's some flaw in you. I don't know. But I know that's not how God, who made you in God's image, sees that story. what you're telling yourself about what went wrong and why. I don't know what you're, I don't know how heavy the autobiography that you're telling yourself is, but I do know that sometimes we get wounded and we begin to repeat stories to ourselves, and sometimes we even mess up and we begin to tell ourselves stories about that. And Paul is saying today, I am the foremost of sinners. I have messed up more than anybody in this room. I have done what I really should not have done, but God's grace was enough to get me. God's grace was enough to take that story and write it in a different way. So God's grace is inviting you to tell your story in God's language today. Paul, I give you Paul's example because it is so extreme. I give you Paul's example because I want you to be able to see even just a little bit that if this man whose path had gotten so far off, that if God still saw value, if God didn't, this is what it is. If God still saw value, God took that life and began to write a beautiful story that we are still reading to this day with that life. If God saw his story and did not berate Paul over and over about the things that he had done, the places he had gone and who he had been, why do we berate ourselves? If Paul, who had gone so far down the wrong path, was able to retell his story and let grace finally tell him his story in the way that God tells of it. Why do we hold on to those stories that are not from the mouth of God? You see, grace is, as we've said this whole series, grace is the unearned favor and acceptance of us by God. I'm going to say that again. We talk about grace all the time, but we often don't know the true meaning of it in our lives. Grace, let me make it personal. Grace is your unearned favor and acceptance of you by God. Now, if we have really accepted grace, that means we need to accept that we are accepted. But we don't do that. If we have really let grace in and let it define our lives, we need to accept that we are accepted. And if God has accepted us, that means God has accepted our stories. God does not take us from where we are now and going forward and only be proud of us then. No, God says, I take all of you. I take what you've been through. I take what you did wrong. I take what you thought was your fault. I take what happened to you. I take the ugly parts, because in my love, all things can be made new. These stories that we tell ourselves, we hold these autobiographies unwritten, and they are so, so very powerful. Sometimes they get so heavy. Some of us need to tell ourselves a new story today. Some of us have not accessed the level of healing and of freedom and of calling. Whew. There are some things you can't do with that old story. There are some places that God is asking you to go that you cannot go because of the story, not because of the circumstance. Not because of your limitations, but because the story that you're telling yourself about you does not match up with the story that the God of the universe, who says, I will complete the work I began in you, it does not match up with that God's story. Some places we cannot go, some things we cannot access because of our stories. I want to tell you a few things that I hope will help us tell our stories differently, because truly our lives can change when our stories change. I wish I knew exactly what your story was, but I don't know exactly how you're telling yourself your story. But I do know that Paul is opening us up to something today, some different way to look at our lives. Because when we look at our lives the way God sees them, grace truly comes in. The first thing I want to tell you about your story is I want to tell you how the enemy tells your story. Because then maybe we can tease out what God is saying and what the enemy's saying. I want to talk with you about the enemy in your earlier life. Paul tells us in scripture, he says, you have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life. Ooh, that earlier life. Now, as I said, some of y'all came out singing, praising the Lord, came out reading your Bible. Not all of us. But even if we've never done things that compared to what Paul has done, never done things that would make a list, we all have an earlier life. And the enemy wants to talk to you about that earlier life. The enemy uses the past so much to keep us bound in the present and keep us from the future that God wants us to have. Paul had an earlier life. He had some ugly days. He had some seasons where he had done things that were not fit for pleasant company and that were not for the faint of heart. And you know what the enemy wants to do about your worst days? The enemy wants to keep you there. The enemy wants to keep that worst season in your life, the most difficult season, and remind you every morning. Not that every morning is new, not that you woke up this morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. No, the enemy wants you to wake up in every morning and remind you of that worst season and convince you that it's who you are. Because if the enemy can convince you that that is who you are, you will never access who God is calling you to be. The enemy, now this isn't for everybody, but it's for people like Paul, who know what it is for life to have some ups and downs, who know what it is to have a story that you can't just tell everybody, who know what it is to have a story that sometimes hurts you and wounds you. The enemy has a story of shame that he keeps telling you over and over. The enemy has a story of shame. And I just, if you don't get anything else, please know that shame is never from the voice of God. The enemy has this story of shame that he wants to tell you over and over. And this is what most of us do. We let mistakes turn into shame. We stay stuck there and sometimes even afraid to share our stories because we fear that they might reveal something ugly about us. We take the most negative interpretation of where we have been and what's happening to us. I'm stuck where I am because there's something lacking in me. They left me because there's something deficient or dysfunctional about me. We take our stories and we turn them in the most negative way. And this is the work of the enemy. Now, Paul, that's what most of us do. Paul does something very different. And I'm almost 100% certain that Paul has done something much worse than any of us in this room. Yet he is not ashamed of his story. Do you see that? We have trouble with the stories of places that we've been, the things that have gone most wrong in our lives. We often are not sure if we should share, and we feel some level of shame, like they might reveal something ugly about us. Paul, who has done something much worse, he tells his story all the time. He has not one ounce of shame. Even though I've told you the things that he's done, he's been a bully, he's been totally on the opposite side of the purposes of God, but Paul has let shame leave his life. And the reason is because shame and grace cannot coexist in the same space in your spirit. Shame and grace cannot take a, you know, when you have an apartment in New York and you have a roommate and it gets to a point where the two of you cannot coexist. Now, this is not for y'all who live in Jersey. Y'all in Brooklyn, you don't know Manhattan troubles. Sometimes, you know, you can't afford the whole place by yourself. You get the roommate. But year after year, you say, this is not going to work anymore. The two of us cannot coexist in this space anymore. One of us has got to go. And this is what Paul says to shame when he gets to Galatians 17 years after God has worked on him. Finally, he says, you know what? I feel some shame, but I recognize the enemy when I see him at work. And shame and grace cannot coexist in this same space. One of them has got to go. And my God said, my grace is enough. It is sufficient for you. So shame, I think I see the door. You got to get out. I'm telling my story in a new way. The way we tell our stories has power over us. It has power. How do I know it's the enemy that keeps us with these heavy autobiographies? How do I know? Well, my Bible told me that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the one we follow, he came, why? That we might have abundant life. Is that story that you're telling yourself, is it accessing the abundant life that he came and he died to give you? Is it accessing that abundant life that he came and he lived and he walked and he went through what he went through to give you? Is it accessing that abundant life? Who is telling you that story about yourself that you have in your head? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the one we follow, he said, I came that they might have life. Who is telling you your story? These stories that we have, that with these autobiographies, they can get so heavy. Next thing I want to tell you about your story. And as we tell new stories today, the next thing I think I need you to know, what Paul found out, is how other people will tell your story. The enemy has a certain way to tell your story. Paul had to learn not to let him tell that story anymore. Other people have a way, telling you your own story. So many times the stories that we tell ourselves, the way that we repeat our autobiography back to ourselves, it is so dependent, it is so written, it is so informed by the way other people have told our story to us. Now, I wish I knew whose language was informing and infusing the story that you're telling yourself, but I don't have the honor of knowing everything about you. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a parent who just kept telling that story over and over, and the way that she or he told your story, you can't get out of your head, and you keep repeating that autobiography about who you are and why you are the way you are because of their voice in your head. Maybe it's an ex-spouse who, because of their own pain and their own frustrations, needed for some reason to cast you into a role that was really not the role you were playing, but that story worked for them and helped to exonerate them somehow from something that was happening to them. And so then that story that they told you as they were leaving, as they were hurting you, as they were doing, the story that they told you, you have somehow, in some way, for some reason, grabbed that story and repeated it and begun to tell yourself that story. Sometimes other people tell ourselves these stories and we let those stories get into us, and then we walk around with this heavy autobiography just weighing us down. And it's not even the story that we know about our lives, is because what he said and what they said and what the society said and what everybody else is saying, and it's weighing us down. We have a story. We need a new story. The story you tell yourself about your life. Paul says, I did not confer with any flesh and blood. He says it over and over. He says, you know, this story of mine, I got to get it straight. He knows. Paul knows that God is up to something in him. And he doesn't have time for shenanigans. Some of us need to realize God is up to something to me. I don't have time to let my mind be wherever it wants to be. I don't have time to spend this time upset and thinking about it in this way and not letting grace really in. God is up to something. I don't know. If y'all don't believe me, I don't know how to convince you. Maybe this week you can reflect on what God is trying to do in your life and why God needs you to accept grace. Why God needs to set you free. It's not just for your feelings and your emotions. God is up to something. Paul knew God was up to something in him. And he said, I don't have time for these stories and these other people's opinions, their interpretation of my life, to weigh me down anymore. I need a new story, he said. He said, I did not confer with any flesh and blood. I did not consult anybody else because I knew what they would say about me. I knew how they would tell my story. I knew that they knew what I had done and the things that I should not have done. I knew that they knew and they would interpret it. However, I did not consult with flesh and blood, because sometimes we get to a point where we have to say, I don't care what they think. All I care about is the way God tells my story. So Paul learns, you can't let the enemy tell your story anymore. Look into your life and investigate that autobiography and see which pages are written by the enemy. I'm telling you, when you edit, you know the best stuff comes out in the edit. Any creatives know that you write a song, the best version is the fifth version when you edited it. The best stuff comes out in the revision. Some of us need to revise our stories. Go through those pages. What have I been telling myself? Did the enemy tell me to say that to me? Because I don't have time for the shenanigans in my life. God is doing something in me, so I need to tell my story the way God does. Who told me this page? Who interpreted it in that way? Why am I still telling myself that story? Why am I still putting myself to bed at night telling myself these stories that do not come from the mouth of my maker? These stories that we tell ourselves, our personal autobiographies, they're very powerful. The last thing I want to tell you, and I'll leave you alone, is the way God tells your story. The way God tells your story. Oh, there is something that happens when, like Paul, we say, I'm leaving it all behind. I'm picking up a new story. God, you tell me how you see me. There is something that happens when we give the pen to God and say, God, you tell me how you see my story. God, talk to me in the morning. I'll walk with you and I'll talk with you. I need you to tell me, God, because I hear the voice of the enemy. I hear the voice of these people. I hear the voice of this world. I need to know how you tell my story. Because God, I believe. Every now and then I hear a message and sometimes I don't believe, but sometimes, God, I believe that when you look at my story, you see something different than what I see. And when you look at my story, you say, I'm not done with her story. And there is more on the way. And God, if I want to get there, I think in my spirit, I got to be a little bit like Paul. I need a new story. God, tell me, revise it. God, do your holy editing. God, I want to live in conversation with you, not in this chatter that I hear around me. The way God tells your story, I promise you, the way God tells your story is different than the way you tell your story. The way God tells your story It's not the way. Sometimes we have these labels on ourselves, and God says, no, no, no. All I said about you is you were made in my image. We have these predictions of our story. God says, no, no, no. You are the head and not the tail, and the end will be better than the beginning. Ooh, that's what God says. That's how God tells you. Let God tell your story. Sometimes we have these autobiographies that are so laced with shame and with pain. God says, didn't you hear the story of my amazing grace? Didn't you hear it? You sang it with your mouth. Why didn't you let it into your heart? I grabbed you. And if I accepted you, you have to accept that you are accepted. And if I accepted you, I accepted your story. Let God tell you a different story about your life. How do I know that the stories we often tell ourselves about our lives are not the same story that God is telling us? How do I know? Because Jesus told me. He said one time, and I can't forget it. I hope you never forget it. Jesus said, he only said it one time, but it was enough. I hope you never forget. I will never forget that. Jesus said, your God is like a good father. And when you mess up, and you're like the son, and even when you mess up and you go down a really wrong road, you go doing things you had no business doing, your God is like a good father who sits there and waits for you. Do y'all remember the story? Oh, Jesus said it to me. He only needed to say it one time. I will never forget. He says, God is like a great parent who's sitting there waiting for you. And even when you do the worst things, even when you go down a road and you stay there too long, and even when you go and you're disrespectful to God, even when you mess up, because some of us know what it is to mess up, even when you mess up, Jesus said to me, he said, God is like a good father. And you know the son in that story. He came walking back because he realized that he needed God in his life. And you know what he was doing? On the whole way there, he was repeating his story back to himself in his head. He just kept saying over and over, oh, this is what I've done, and I've messed up in this way. And he had the story on loop, on repeat in his head, and he was practicing his speech with his story. God, he was going to say to the vine, I'm not worthy, do you remember? He was going to say, this is what I have done, and this is who I've been. This is my story. Father, I'm not worthy to be a part of your family. And God said to him in the story, I hear the story that you are repeating, but God interrupted in him and said, that is not the story I tell of you. The story I tell about you, my son, my daughter, is that you were lost and now you are found. Come on in, because we have a party to get started. God interrupted his story. That's not the story I tell about you. I don't know what your stories are today. I don't know what autobiographies are weighing you down, but I do know that if you want to let grace in, you're going to have to let God tell you a new story. Paul let God tell him a new story. Paul was not mired in shame, even though he had had a life with some rough spots in it. Paul looked back and he said, God gave me a new story, and now I say it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. That is the story that we need today. That is the story that you need today. Let God in this season, not just for your present going forward, but let God investigate your past with you. Give the pen to God. Let God tell you a new story, because God has some things to tell you, some riches untold, some love, some grace with which God wants to soak your life. And when you see what God does with your life, when you see what God does with this life, when you put it in God's hands, eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard what is reserved for those of us who walk in grace. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Do we have anybody with new stories today? Do we have anybody who knows a God who can make all things new? Do we have anybody in the house who knows what it is to need some grace, to say, I'm telling a new story? Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet as we worship our God. I'm going to have the deacons to come up here as we receive. We're going to sing this song. It's going to bring you back. But I pray it doesn't just bring you back. I pray you let it sink in that God has a different story than the one you often tell yourself. And some of us today, just some of us, we need to let God tell us a new story, because God is taking us somewhere. We can't get there with the autobiographies we have, but God is taking us somewhere beautiful. So let's just sing this song about this story. And let God tell you your story today, because grace is waiting for you.
Blessed assurance.